It is 9 a.m. in the West Coast, and it's 12 noon in the East Coast. It is 7 p.m. in Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. Today is May 4th, 2016, and this is Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth. Today on BBS Radio, we are going to recognize Holocaust Memorial Day that we in Israel remember tomorrow. And since this is the eve of what we are going to start as the Holocaust Memorial Day, we're going to keep this memory of those lost souls as a beacon of light for this show. Now, behind the scene, there is Doug Newsom, and I'm thankful for him for all his assistance and help. And we are going to start right now. Now, the Holocaust Memorial Day is a day that we remember that the Second World War lost so many souls from all over the world, from Russia, from Poland, from Germany, from Holland, from Switzerland, from Austria, from all European countries. There were victims. The world was standing still while one madman started to preach for unreasonable demand to cleanse the world from some people who he didn't see fit to make a part of his world. This silent world that was there for almost 6 years, that were witnessing, that sawing, looking, and standing aside while those railroad of train filled with people were going back and forth to the killing field. The world did not defeat this guy until more and more people got killed. 6 million Jews were killed, but other Russians, millions of Russians were killed. European countries suffered. The devastation of a World War should be in front of us when we contemplate if Syria is to be in peace mode or if the world wants to engage in another adventure of a world war. Today I'm going to use this time in history to tell you all that you get a hold of all those goons, take a hold of all those preachers of evil, take a hold of all people who don't recognize other people's existence and don't want them to exist. We're talking to all those that have almighty in their hands, as for that matter, because they don't recognize the global idea of brotherhood of man. They don't recognize that people have to live and let live. We are witnessing people that speak so high and above in the campaign, in the presidential campaign on U.S. soil, the land of freedom and the land of the free. When we have somebody, and I'm not going to mention his name because this is a day of devastation that we are going to recognize tomorrow. A man that say that Mexicans are no good, that is going to raise a border, a fence, or whatever to kick them out. Those Mexicans who build together America, those Mexicans that traffic every day to keep America, those Mexicans that we all love and cherish, those Mexicans that are brothers. So every time a crazy man come out and decide that he is above everybody else and everybody needs to obey to his command, we should remember the craziness of the Second World War. This is not going to happen again. And when we scribe never again, it means never again. There is many organizations that try to recognize the memory, you know, the memory of the loss. The wounds are enormous. Those people that are sitting, they never recover from the Holocaust and from all the things that they had to go through. And I'm telling you usually the stuff that is nice and dandy and love and happiness, but I want to warn you all that if you don't stop madness, it's going to take over you. And this world does have no luxury to have another crazy man in control of one of the greatest nations in the world. And I'm saying it, and I'm saying it with all my heart. I don't care what he says about anybody. When he points fingers to somebody else, it's our business to validate what he's saying. When they say that somebody is bad enough to kill him, to dismiss him, to destroy him, we want to say, who are you that, you know, there is a God and it's not you. Now, let's start. I got some news. And we did it all. This is my only show in the week, and I want to use it to make good. But you just remember, we're not alone. There is God, and we're going to work together this time. This time, the universe is going to come together and help each other. We're not going to push aside anybody else. And those crazy men, they better be gone, because the world will not stand them anymore. Now, let's get some beautiful music.
I've never told this story to anyone. It started with ordinary people being stopped at random and questioned, and before long it was happening to people I knew. We soon worked out they were being targeted because of their race, and it became more violent, more severe. It was as if the whole population was blamed. I knew it was just a matter of time, because I was young and healthy to work. I was taken to a camp. And the conditions were appalling. The heat, no water to drink, no food to eat. Every day I would see other prisoners dying. I knew I had to get out. I managed to escape. And I ran and ran and realized that my uncle could help me. My uncle wouldn't stand by. He gave me food and water and clothes. But I knew I couldn't stay. I would have been found and probably killed. I don't remember much about my journey. I was smuggled onto lots of different trucks. Eventually, the truck doors opened. I was in London. And I was a free man.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
And we are back. It's Orly Benny Davis with BBS Radio. It's our show, Impossible Truth. And when we have to touch base with reality and remember, you know, the mistake of the past to avoid repeating them. Remember, over 60 million people were killed in the Second World War. It's almost 3% of the world population then, in 1940. Just think about it. 3% of the world got killed at that time. Unreasonable and not understood And still, the question is why? And every time people say, you know, where was God? I want to say, well, we are, you know, we are to be. It's us. It's not the question what God Almighty is doing in the heaven. It's what we are doing on earth that can receive God's help. And what they were doing, they were killing. Now we have to be careful and recognize that we cannot allow people that we don't know to be in charge. We cannot let it happen again. We have a lot of situation right now on the ground, and I'm talking about Syria because that war needs to end. It just needs to end. And Assad needs to go because he didn't end it. They gave him the time to fix any kind of government understanding, and they didn't. And in all this myths, they're killing people in Turkey. In the border, the Kurds are being targeted again, once again. A population of 30 million people that don't have a land are not recognized by anybody as, you know, free people to own the land. They've been targeted again on the pretext that they do something wrong. When the war in Syria is being conducted by Assad. Now think about people in Halab right now that cannot get. The United Nations just informed the world that they cannot give help and resources to people in Halab because the government is bombarding. To think that people are in the same condition of war after we all learn from the past that we cannot let it be, and the world is still silent. And you don't tell me you don't know, because now we're talking about it. We talked about it a month ago. Syria needs to stop, you know, the fire on its people. And we have so many kids that tried and helped, you know, and to try to have a life. And for some reason, people want to pretend like nothing happened. And the chaos is continuous. Now, when you tell me about the world and the God, I'm saying you need to do something about it, not because you must. It's because the only thing to do is that, to fix it. I don't know how to explain it in this emotional day, but I have to tell you something, that the Jewish people arrived to the Jewish land after they got slaughtered. And I don't know if the Kurds need to go through the whole deal, but it's not fair to ask them. It's not fair to Syria to have. And I don't know what's the deal with those ISIS. Are we going to take them on and finish the job? I don't know why they say that, you know, in the first they're going to end it up this year, and then it's not going to end up this year. No, it has to end up. We have no condition to let it be. We have no probable scenario that will let them be. We need to win it, and once and for all. And like we did it in 1945, you know, we can do it again. The Allied forces can help. Let's do it. So let's listen to some more stuff that I prepare for you.
And now it's time for Focus. Now, we often report on the people who flee war or poverty to reach Europe. Today, we're looking at those who, after a long and perilous journey, decide to head in the opposite direction. Migrants disappointed with Europe. In the last few months, hundreds of Iraqis have voluntarily left Germany. Rochelle Harrison-Pless reports.
At a migrant centre in Germany, The same surprising request is heard over and over again.
We come to you.
Yesterday is coming here.
Is that every day that people come asking to return?
Yes, every day. For example, 2 days ago, I took 39 people to the airport.
This Iraqi family arrived in Germany 2 months ago. But the family of five want to return home. They say they're disappointed with their situation.
If we waited a while, the children could go to school, get German citizenship. But the reality is we still don't have a residence permit.
But you're still better off than being in a country that's at war.
Maybe, but everything is complicated for us here. I don't speak the language. It's a nice place, but I don't feel at home.
No papers, no home, overcrowding, and crucially, no right to work. The disappointments just keep stacking up.
I came because I saw nice pictures on Facebook posted by Iraqis already here. They said we could earn 2,000 euros a month working at BMW with German colleagues. I hope to find work and earn good money, except that hasn't happened, and instead I do nothing all day long.
But not so long ago, there was an overwhelming feeling of hope. But the journey was cut short. After 2 months, they headed back in the other direction, this time by air. The German government paid for their plane tickets and gave them 1,700 euros in cash. Touching down in their hometown of Erbil in Iraqi Kurdistan, the whole family is at the airport to welcome them back. Samir sold everything before leaving, so he and his family have to move in with his mother, confronted with the reality that led him to leave in the first place.
As soon as my brother returns, I'll no longer have a place to stay.
So it's back to square one, and back to the local market where he used to work. Samir is overjoyed to see his friends again, despite a failed attempt at seeking asylum.
It's great to be back among my people. Even with nothing to eat, we're better off here than over there.
Luckily, he got his old job back, pocketing 6 euros a day for plucking chickens. But in the back of his mind, paying back a loan of 8,000 euros.
I spent many months working here in order to pay for the trip. Today I regret having spent all that money, only to be back where I started, in the same situation.
Samir's bitter experience hasn't put off others hoping to reach Europe. In fact, his own brother is preparing to leave for France.
They say that over there, all you have to do is sit back and the government pays for everything. In Europe, we're much better off than in Iraqi Kurdistan. Say what you want, I'm leaving.
In 1 year, some 10,000 Iraqis have made the same return trip home. Their European exile not turning out the way they expected.
Joining me now in the studio is Céline Schmidt, spokesperson for the UN's Refugee Agency here in Paris. Hello, thank you very much indeed for coming in. Now, could you tell us a bit more about what's motivating what we could call a reverse exodus? Is it really frustration with Europe?
So this is taking place in Germany, and I think it raises several questions. The first thing is that Germany had to cope with the arrival of more than 1 million refugees last year, which has put a lot of pressure. But Germany has welcomed the refugees, and some of the delays for seeking asylum have been a bit longer. And this has created some frustrations, but also the German government is trying to address that. So that's one thing. But the other thing as well is the question of refugees and migrants, difference between refugees and migrants. Refugees are fleeing conflict, persecution. They have no choice. To survive, they have to flee. Migrants have also fleeing or leaving their country, but for other reasons, sometimes economical reasons or social reasons. So there is that difference as well. And what is very important is to maintain asylum for refugees, to make sure refugees still have access to asylum.
So Germany is particularly encouraging those who came as economic migrants to leave, not refugees.
People who are coming, yes, and who are not refugees and who are migrants, economic migrants, yes. What we are saying is that they can go back to their country. Whether refugees can't go back to their country. If they go back to their country, they may die. They're fleeing conflict and persecution. And in order to make sure refugees still have the possibility to seek asylum, it's very important to maintain that and to make sure refugees still have that possibility.
So even though we're really only talking about a very small number of people, it must relieve the German authorities just a little bit, and they're better able to focus on those, as you say, who perhaps need the asylum more than others.
It's very important, yes, to focus on the refugees. Migrants also have rights and human rights that have to be respected. But, you know, as I said, refugees are fleeing for their life. They're fleeing conflict. They have no choice. And it's very important that they can seek asylum in Europe and be and have access to the protection they need in Europe.
It seems, though, from our report that some people are quite naive when arriving in Europe in terms of what they expect. We heard from one man in that report who said that he was told he could earn 2,000 euros. Are there campaigns in certain countries where these people are arriving from to perhaps raise awareness about what they can realistically expect?
Giving the right information to the people is indeed a challenge, and it's something that we're saying is very important. To give the right information to the people about the possibilities to seek asylum, what are their rights, but also what are their duties. And we are also working in some of the countries on information campaigns to tell the people what are the conditions in Europe, for example, and what are their rights.
Because we've seen in the last couple of days, ever since that repatriation deal that we were talking about in the news was enforced, we've had migrants arriving on Greek shores and only finding out then that they missed the deadline, so to speak. And so clearly not all this information is getting through to people. And so do you think we need to have more information campaigns to prevent people coming over or not necessarily actually open our doors more?
What is important is to maintain the asylum space. And to maintain the fact that people who are fleeing persecution, are fleeing war, are able to seek asylum and are able to seek asylum in Europe. And that's very important. And the agreement that has been passed between the EU and Turkey says that it will respect European law and international law, which means that people who are arriving in Europe have the possibility to seek asylum in Greece.
What do you make of the German government paying for flights back and even giving people cash to leave? Are we...
And we are back. That's more technical stuff about refugees. But we started with understanding that since many refugees that evacuated Syria and flee to Europe find no condition on the ground to work, and that's where they want to go back. Now, think about the situation. If you had a ceasefire, if we had a change of government, and I'm calling today on change of government because, Assad did not do the job. Nothing, we gave him the opportunity so many times, and nothing. So the idea is you need to clear a place for another one. That's the normal way that the people will start understanding that it's a new day there. If not, it's the same and it's going to be dragged forever. Now, think about all those people who want to go back. If you have a ceasefire, alternative government, you're going to have some kind of belief that people can go back to work and to home. That is destroyed, of course, but they'll start with a little camp and they'll start rebuilding their country. You know, Syria needs to be rebuilt, and the longer you keep it empty, the longer the chance that some bad forces will take over. And of course, you'll have to push them out. Or they're going to contaminate, not contaminate, I'm not going to use that German word. They're going to make life of others impossible. All right? So let's see what's in the news around that we need to be concerned of. Maybe we have to pray for Temple Mount, the holy place of all world. You know, where three religions supposed to come to one place and worship before God had a many contested situation. And one of the deals that was agreed upon, because there were people screaming, Muslim girls, ladies, who screamed at visitor, non-Muslim visitor, Jewish or Christian alike, they decided that they will put cameras in order for them to control the situation. However, the Jordanian decided to stop the negotiation to implement the cameras. Now, see, the situation is like that. Or you want to agree on, or you don't. It's like peace. Every time they're saying to us, you know, you have to come together and give land for peace, give places to peace. I don't understand what kind of peace they're talking about if one needs to give up his own home in order to satisfy the other. Now, we have the situation that is coming to play many times before in any kind of agreement. And we know that since 1993, in the Oslo Accord, the Israeli wanted to come an agreement with the Palestinian. The Palestinian, then running by Yasser Arafat, decided that they don't want to give Israel a space and time. They promise, and nothing came true. 1993 was the start of a long-running negotiation. When today, in 2016. We find that they use all the resources the world gave them to use it to build weapons to try to destroy Israel. They didn't build any houses for the people. They didn't care to build, massive schooling institution. They try to destroy everything that was given to them. And it's something that say that we're not going to agree to let a destructive nature come to be an entity. You see, every time, for example, let's think about the computer is something that you want to talk about, right? You understand it. If you want to give a space to some bug, okay, there is a bug, and we're going to give him space. Let's give him space on the net. Oh, he needs a space because he's calling, he's destroying, he's making us annoyed all day long. Let's give him a space. So if you think that you give him a space, a virtual space, and you know, nobody's suffering, you don't take anything, we're just giving. What the bug will do? It will grow and will grow and will grow and will destroy the rest. Now, do you think that you're going to be safe in one point or another? Maybe, but the next point is we're in danger. So when entity is a destructive entity, you cannot let it be. Because every time you let be a destructive, it means that you sacrifice a good one, a good productive. Now, the production of the Jewish people in the world affair is well known. And I know that everybody comes. And I heard some black lady yesterday complaining with this new anti-Jewishness that starts in so many places in the globe. And she said, well, you know, the Jews, of course, they're the first in line to get the benefits. So they're early riser. What's the problem with that? They are the first to do anything. Well, that's it. We are the first to run you know, the show. We're the first to take responsibility. We're for the first to open a building. We open, you know, why this a complaint? Think about if you would complain that one is one and 10 is 10. You know, it's sometimes order in life is not relevant. It's the function. You need to have a function. And every time I'm trying to explain why Jewish people are in the world, I said, that's because God wanted it to be like that. And every time you're tested, the one that is not Jews, and Jews are tested the same, every time you test it is by letting that Jew do God's work. Now, you're saying, oh, they are calling themselves the holy people, but they are not. Of course, sometimes they're not. What do you think? They're human. They're learning. But every time they get deviate from the road, trust me, God put us back in place. And it's not up to us. And it's not up to you if he decides to let us be or not. And you think they get away with anything? No. The only thing you can never complain with the Jews that we got away with anything. We didn't get away with nothing. We got the burden of charity on our shoulders daily because we are responsible people to the world and we need to carry it. Now, it's not a rhetoric that I'm using because, you know, it's complimentary. I'll be very happy to live, you know, in a society where it doesn't matter. But the truth of the matter, we have obligation before God to help the world. And when somebody sending me, calling me from overseas, said, you know, there is a kosher something. Now, they're no Jewish, and they're calling me for the kosher something. I'm obligated. Why? Because they're dealing with my stuff. I'm obligated to help them. Now, once I'm helping them, do you think they're coming back to say thank you? No, they're just slaving. What they care? They got what they need. They don't come back. So for us to be used and abused, is a standard, but the time has come that we need to give also an understanding to the world that our duty is to serve the world and to enlighten it, but you have to honor God of Israel. And that's the time in history that it comes to. I don't know why it's today and why the enlightenment of all those years didn't come to truth. The fact that Jordan thinks she control Temple Mount. Now, what is Temple Mount? It's a place where God's presence is to be perceived. Now, think about it. There is a place in the universe, in Jerusalem, a holy place, where you maybe have the place for God to be. Just imagine. Do you think about that? Can you realize that it's a possibility? Let's assume that 50-50 chance. Okay, let's gamble because you guys don't have to take everything in a given, especially when you don't know, right? But if there is a 50 chance even, why don't we do everything in our power to cherish that place? Why don't we let God be? Now, when everybody is asking, where was God? I am asking you guys now, why you don't let God be before you ask, where is he? How can he be? Now, he can be everywhere, yes, but he cannot exist to the one that don't receive it. Do I get myself clear? It's like the matrix. You can come on that ride only if you understand it. If you get God, you are on your ride. If you don't accept that ride, so you're out of it. Now, you accept God to collect you and give you? Well, there are plenty of children in the world that pay attention to it. So you're saying that every soul is important. Of course, it's his soul. It's the children of this world. That's why I'm I'm crying out for help. Those children, but calling themselves the enemy of the Jewish people, but I don't care. Those are children of God. And I want to see them, you know, losing their life in a battle, even though they want to destroy Israel. We're going to be Israel, and we're going to be powerful, you know, as light and strong in our spirit, and give space in place in heaven and earth for God to be. And then the world would start going and understanding that God has the right to decide who are his children or not. Anyway, let's get some music.
Take me on a day, I deserve a bay. And don't forget the flowers every universal ray. Cause if you treat me right, I'll be the perfect wife. Buying groceries, buying what you need. You got the 9 to 5, but baby, so do I. So don't be thinking I'll be home and making up a pass. I never learned to cook, but I can pride of her. Sing along with me, sing along with me. Hey, you gotta know how to treat me like a lady.
All right, and we're back. Orly Benny Davis with The Impossible Truth on BBS Radio. This is the show for you by us all. To give an understanding to the world of what we people think and how we're gonna, you know, make this world better. You know, talking about making this better, I know John Kerry been trafficking and hoping to conceive some kind of understanding. Let's listen to that.
U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said on Monday, talks with Russia and coalition partners are getting closer to a place of understanding on renewing a ceasefire in Syria, including around the city of Aleppo. Kerry spoke before a meeting in Geneva with Saudi Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir and stepped up diplomatic efforts to stop a surge in fighting and salvage UN-led peace talks brokered by the U.S. and Russia on February 27. The Syrian government said on Friday it was introducing a temporary regime of calm or low-end fighting in an area around Damascus and Latakia province. But Kerry has made clear a ceasefire brokered by the U.S. and Russia on February 27th must also include Aleppo.
All right, and we got some more of John Kerry. Let's listen to that.
You talk hours and hours to Lavrov. Hours and days, probably longer. You spent 4 hours with Putin.
I've spent more than that. I've spent a lot of time with Putin.
So what do you think?
That's the third meeting, and each of them have been fairly lengthy. But I think he is intelligent.
What does he want?
I think he is strategic and tactical, sometimes more tactical than strategic, but there is certainly a strategic vision. I think he wants... his point of view acknowledged, and to a certain degree, his interests reciprocated, met to a certain degree. Now, there are limits, obviously. Crimea, we're not moving. I mean, that's just not in the cards.
But most people think that's a given, it's not going to change Crimea.
Well, we'll wait and see, but we're not changing.
You think there's reason to believe that Crimea can be taken back from the Russians?
I think there's reason to believe that over a long period of time, depending on how the Crimeans feel about it, they may want some resolution with respect to whether they're part of Ukraine legitimately. Yeah. Ukrainians will not give up on it. So it's not going to go away. Ukraine isn't about to say, oh, yeah, go ahead and take it and keep it. So that's not in the cards. And I think that ultimately, you know, but that's down the road. Right now, the fight is over Ukraine, et cetera. I think President Putin feels that the United States abused the process in Libya, that we...
clearly says that. He reminds you every moment.
He reminds you every moment. Well, you know the history. There's a litany. Yes, there's a long list of things. And what we need to do is find a way for President Putin to have an opportunity to meet... the demands of the United Nations Security Council, live up to his obligations under the Minsk Agreement.
But that's what he says he wants to do.
Well, Charlie, that's what you put to test.
Right.
My job in diplomacy is to try to take what someone says and test whether it's real, and particularly if you're looking for an outcome that is in fact structured and peaceful and productive, you more than, you know, you will have to find some road that is not perfect, but that finds a way to get there. And in the case of President Putin, he says that he is prepared to be part of the solution with respect to Syria. Now, everybody doubted whether Russia would play any constructive role whatsoever with respect to the cessation of hostilities.
And
we got a cessation of hostilities, notwithstanding.
Because they played a positive role.
Because they played a positive role.
You've also said, and the president said,
if they hadn't played a constructive role, we would not have had an agreement with Iran.
Right.
If they hadn't played a constructive role, we would not have gotten the chemical weapons out of Syria, and they would be in the hands of ISIL today. And if they hadn't played a constructive role, we would not have gotten the cessation of hostilities or everybody at the table in Geneva. So I'm not going to sit here. The job's not done. There's a very, very difficult road ahead. And this can crumble very easily because the opposition may decide they're not serious about a transition and they go back to fighting or any number of different variations on that.
All right. I think it got interrupted, but we got understanding that Kerry is working hard with the Russian counterpart. And in order for us to seize the moment and defeat ISIS, we need to think about how to do it together. And the coalition forces, the German, you know, Merkel is such an incredible lady that does everything. And today, you know, when we know what Holocaust represents, and we see such a great lady that she's redeeming, you know, the opportunity to make a new day for the world, it's good. So I second her, and I hope that and I send her all the best from here. I want also to recognize the English and their hardworking effort to the world in this. And Kerry been doing hard, but the English, and you know, now that we have the Invictus Games in Orlando, Florida, when Prince Harry is hosting a lot of heroes that got, you know, they were in the war, and they are the memories of all those, you know, wounds that people carry through the war. There are people who killed, there are people that survive it, and there are people who carry the wounds. So the wounds sometimes are exterior, where you can see them without limb, and they still have the spirit, and there is other that you don't see the wound, but the spirit is gone, let's say. So let's bless Prince Harry for his incredible effort to bring those heroes to play together, to remind us all what the mistakes of the past are and what we are trying to avoid, and give them a chance to make a day and, you know, to be heroes in front of all of us. So we cherish it, and next year it will be in Canada, God willing. I hope I can go there. Anyway, keep on going. That's as far as something I wanted to recognize. I want to recognize the fact that we, in this time of memory, we want to thank all those beautiful souls from all around the world that help safeguard. For example, today I was watching some news about the rabbi from Lubavitch, Rabbi Snerer, that was the most incredible rabbi in the time of the Second World War. And people from America sent to save him. And a soldier, German soldier, took the time to look for him because he was the most incredible Orthodox Jews at that time. And they found him, I guess, and they helped him escape, or they transported him because they were in charge. So whatever it is, sometimes there is some kind of understanding. Now, you say why a holy man like the Lubavitch rabbi had to be escaped by or saved by the German themselves. Who knows? See, you never know what holiness does to you. Sometimes it saves you even, you know, by the enemy's end. So never discourage, because God's help is always near. Now, as I wrap up today, I want to make a prayer for all the children of the world that may this next year will see the world going back on track, that we'll have in the world a security apparatus that will start safeguarding us all together. And this world apparatus of communication, on safety, on collaboration to watch for everybody, will work so well that we can all feel safe to travel and go around. Now, as they start bombarding stuff in Gaza again, we want to call everybody to halt, to take a breath, and wait. We're doing it to all the region in the Middle East, and we just have a great prayer for this world, that it will be a new day, and may it become fast. Because whatever your intention are, remember, God's intention are gonna win. So why to make a fight? They try to destroy the Jewish people, and instead you have a Jewish state. This Jewish state that is born from the ashes of Holocaust is here to stay. And nobody will think that she doesn't belong here should have a say. As the Holy Scripture says, we shall come to your land, and you should come and you'll see the building of Zion. It's about time. It's about time that we all come together to understand that we are the world. This is for us. We created it, and we just have to play right. God bless you all, and from here, the Holy Land. This is Orly Benny Davis. I'll talk to you next week. God bless. Thank you. Ciao, ciao.